Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state of Alaska reported no new COVID-19 cases yesterday. Alaska's count remains at 402 with 356 people recovered. Governor Dunleavy and other state officials hosted the first in a series of online COVID-19 town hall meetings last night, taking questions from around the state via Facebook. Among numerous issues raised were the requirement that people arriving in Alaska from outside quarantine for 14 days and ways to allow visitation at senior care facilities. The governor said both are top priorities.
Now that the business aspect, the churches, houses of worship, other entities are open now, we are turning our focus to these issues, and hopefully we'll get some good answers for folks and maybe be able to make some changes that still protect the health of others.
The 14-day travel from outside quarantine requirement is currently scheduled to expire June 2nd. And Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum said alternative protective options are under discussion.
Science is coming out. We're trying to determine, is there test-based strategies around shortening the quarantine window? What are some of the best ways in order to do this?
On the senior care facility visitation issue, Commissioner Crum said the state is exploring some options.
We're doing a big push to make sure that we have Wi-Fi access in the home so they can use things like Skype and other meeting aspects, FaceTime, to talk with their loved ones. And so we are implementing some draft visitation plans in those facilities. This is something that in the near future we hope to have, as well as, you know, a little bit of a testing strategy around the staff in any visitors who come in for the screening procedure. So it is something we're very mindful of. We want to make sure we do it correctly and deliberately.
The governor's COVID-19 team will host another Facebook Live town hall Tuesday night at 5:30 and ask people to begin submitting questions and issues they want addressed. The Fairbanks North Star Burroughs Carlson Center will remain available as a COVID-19 care overflow site until the end of June. That was among items shared in a pandemic update last night by Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward. Speaking at a borough assembly meeting, Mayor Ward said the State Emergency Command will reevaluate the overflow bed space and other community needs next month.
That is one of the main considerations from the state as we look at reopening, is the capacity for communities to be able to handle surges. Also, our understanding, the governor, as they look at the future, if there are outbreaks, community closures or business closures would be far more specific in the future.
Borough financial staff and some assembly members are working on how to use CARES Act funding. The Alaska legislature approved the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act funds Wednesday, and Mayor Ward says he plans to bring a reimbursement plan in front of the assembly by June 11th.
To structure a program for direct expenses that the borough has or will incur between now and December 31, and how a grant system would look for the community.
The borough administration also announced the opening of some facilities which have been closed since March 15th. The borough's Central Recycling Center has made some process changes to be able to reopen while keeping employees and contractors safe. Chief of Staff Jim Williams said solid waste employees crafted a plan to open the center on a trial basis.
It looked like a pretty good plan, but we decided we needed to test it. So we did kind of a soft, unannounced opening to see how things would go. So if that goes well over the weekend, we'll probably tell the public.
Mayor Ward says he knows people have been stockpiling recyclables in their garages, but urged the public to be patient as there are new guidelines to follow at the center. The city of Fairbanks is working on a plan to spend $16 million in federal CARES Act money, including distribution to local businesses hurt by the pandemic. According to a city release, the city council voted unanimously at a meeting Monday to authorize acceptance of the federal money. It says a small portion of the funds will be used to cover city government incurred pandemic expenses, with the rest to be distributed as grants to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who suffered COVID-19 losses. The city says it plans to partner with banks and organizations to distribute the funds and plans to issue an RFP for that assistance today. A committee has been formed to develop an application process as well as guidelines that need to be met to qualify to receive a grant. The city anticipates getting the CARES Act funds by mid-June. Eielson Air Force Base officials will oversee $350 million in road and airfield maintenance at interior military installations. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, most of the 7-year contracts are with local companies.
The new contract does not signal the end of the long-running rivalry over funding between the armed services, but it marks a sort of departure from the norm because it provides for road and airfield maintenance at installations in the interior operated by two branches of the service.
The Air Force and the Army, we partnered together in the development of this contract.
Air Force Major Cal Gentry heads up Eielson's 354th Contracting Squadron, which will oversee the 7-year contract that'll provide up to $350 million for the maintenance work.
We issued the contract. We administer the contract. Before Wainwright and Fort Greely, they can place their own orders off of the contract.
Gentry says the contract also is designed to reduce red tape that often comes with getting routine maintenance done because it requires only task orders for projects costing less than $10 million instead of full-blown separate contracts.
It saves us a lot of administrative time to issue task orders for these maintenance projects versus having to do a new competition for each and every single project. That would just be very time and cost prohibitive.
Gentry says installation officials may not spend all of the $350 million authorized under the contract. He says that figure is based on the maintenance that's been needed in recent years at the four installations, which, besides Eielson, include Clear Air Force Station, Fort Wainwright, and Fort Greely. The contract also is intended to complement some upcoming work on Eielson to accommodate, among other things, the two squadrons of F-35 fighters that are coming to the base.
The airfield upgrade, I think that will be a couple years down the road. I think we're still doing some maintenance, some improvements. We're finishing up some loose ends from the F-35 construction with the existing paving contract that we have in place.
That existing 5-year contract will be succeeded by the new pact, which went into effect May 1st. The new contract adds Clear and the part of Eielson that's used by the Alaska Air National Guard's 168th Refueling Wing, and it'll employ the same four locally based contractors, including Exclusive Paving, HC Contractors, Paving Products, and Great Northwest. And the new pact adds a fifth contractor, that's the Anchorage-based branch of Granite Construction. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Copper River sockeye salmon return is coming in far weaker than anticipated. It's still early, but Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Jeremy Boats in Cordova says the first two commercial fishery openings on the Copper River flats yielded a disappointing sockeye harvest.
The level of sockeye harvest the first two periods is historically low. I mean, it's either the lowest or one of the lowest first two periods on record.
Boat says only 6,000 sockeye were caught, far below the anticipated 40,000. A low haul, he says, may be related to colder than normal weather and a weak tide cycle, but the state canceled a commercial opening that was scheduled for yesterday and plans to announce today whether or not the next scheduled commercial opening on Monday will occur. Boat says harvest of Copper River Chinook, a much smaller stock, was somewhat better in the first two commercial openings. A popular recreational access route has opened just in time for the long Memorial Day weekend. The State Department of Transportation says the 135-mile-long Denali Highway between Cantwell on the Richardson Highway and Paxson on the Parks is open to travel. That follows an extended winter, which DOT Northern Region spokesperson Caitlin Fry says necessitated a lot of work over the last month.
It was all that snow and wind on the Richardson Highway side. Just a ton of stuff to move, and it just took them longer than usual to push everything out of the way and get through all the ice.
Fry says the Denali Highway, which has a mix of gravel and paved stretches, is typically open by May 15th. The DOT urges drivers to be prepared for remote travel and rough road conditions, including along a narrow section of highway between miles 42 and 60. Drivers are also advised to check the state's 511 website or to call its 511 line for the latest road conditions. Seasonal weight restrictions are in effect. I'm Dan Bross.